Scalpins Audio.
Hey guys.
Hi.
I'm Julian.
And I'm Meg.
And this is the soft spot for a little bit more.
The farewell tour.
Yeah. Bye. But not yet.
not yet.
We are recording new intros for some of our favorite interviews.
Right.
And
so it's like remixed, re-release.
It's like a DJ Khaled, let's be honest. It's we're DJ Khaled-ing our own show.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Or we're putting a Cardi B voice.
I'm still not 100% sure what his job is.
No one does. No one knows. It's impossible.
Because he gave his son a job and his son had an album. And I remember seeing his son's face all over Times Square when he was a baby. And I was who is this guy?
who
is this kid?
The first time I saw him, I thought he was one of the Shahs of Sunset.
Yeah.
I didn't know who this guy was.
Yeah.
But apparently he's a producer or something. I just picture him as the guy who presses play on an iPod on a yacht.
And he's yeah. And then he just says his name a bunch of times.
Absolutely. But good for him.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be Pitbull and now it's him. So,
yeah.
You know, things could be worse.
I'm way less offended by Pitbull, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't remember Pitbull ever being Pitbull, Pitbull, Pitbull.
Well, he calls himself Mr. Party or Prime Time. I forget. Do you remember?
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. That's what it is. I love that he started wearing...
I love that level of arrogance.
Yeah.
I just love it. Mr. Worldwide.
I love when he started wearing suits. It's like, okay, Pitbull.
Yeah.
What are you, late for your job interview? Stop.
I know.
We are doing a series like that. We're also, for this week, I thought we would talk about, because we're eventually leaving. It's on good terms here, and
yes,
that's nice.
It is.
But it got me thinking about jobs I've left before and how it didn't go as well.
Yeah.
Do you have any of those? Have you ever been fired?
Yes.
Did you sign an NDA and you can't talk about it, or can you tell us about when you were fired?
Oh, even if I signed an NDA, I'd still talk about it.
So what job was it?
I've been fired a couple of times.
What was the first time you got fired?
I think I'm a person who is not good at many other things than creating.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not. And I tried. I've really tried, but it's never really gone that well.
How's your customer service skills?
Anyway, I've been fired from a couple of jobs.
Okay.
And usually it wasn't an attitude thing. I'm not a person who books authority really hard, mm-hmm, or whatever. I try my best, but... Man, I just haven't been that good at some of the jobs that I've had. And I'm totally okay with that. The first time I got fired was from a place called Metro Park.
Ooh, that sounds like a train station.
In the early aughts, if you were wearing True Religions or Rockin' Republics or Affliction shirts,
whoa,
then you probably got them from a place called Metro Park, which was the cool kids table of the mall stores, or at least in the mall that I worked in. And I worked retail from the day I turned 16,
mm-hmm,
until I think I was 22.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's an illustrious retail career.
Yeah. And I was actually not horrible at it, because, mm-hmm, I'm good at folding stuff. I'm good at color coordinating.
I can attest to both of those things. You are good at folding and color coordinating.
But pushing people to buy stuff, I'm not good at.
Right.
So I did well at a lot of my retail jobs, because it's most of it is just being pretty pleasant and keeping things sort of orderly.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks when somebody, we talked about this on Brooks Wheelan's
episode.
No, not on his episode.
Oh, on his podcast.
Show.
Yeah, entry level.
Yeah. A lady had just had a baby and she bled everywhere in a Victoria's Secret, and I didn't have to clean that up, so it was fine. he literally called in people in like hazmat suits.
Yeah.
Because it looked like, somebody, she like just had a baby and came to buy
lingerie.
New panties or lingerie.
This is one of the most horrific stories.
And
especially
her sutures busted. And it was just like a crime scene.
Sutures so is I've one seen, of those words like moist where I'm like, if I never hear that word, I'm totally
cool. I know,
cool.
It sounds like what it is. Ugh. And what it is not
fun.
Not fun.
That is, by the way, one of the benefits of working for a corporate entity rather than a mom and pop place. Because a mom
right.
and pop place would be like, get in there.
Would be like, get in there and you mop up all of those, you know, diseased blood splatters
and
or whatever.
Don't use the whole roll of paper towels. We
exactly.
need the rest of that later.
But exactly. Pour some bleach on it. It'll be fine.
Corporate, they pull in like a real team, like a SWAT team.
Anyway, back to Metro Park.
Okay, Metro Park.
I was in college. I worked a lot. I was also taking 18 hours a semester, dead set on getting out into the real world sooner.
Yeah, the better.
What?
The sooner the better.
You
want to get out there.
I don't know what I was
thinking.
You want
to start paying bills.
Nearly killing myself between my work and academic obligations. Mm-hmm. And also regularly curating art shows, participating in art shows. Like, wow.
Energizer Bunny.
What was I thinking?
Burning it at both ends.
There were certain things keeping me awake and alert.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah.
Like a full night's sleep?
Absolutely. I drank a lot of Sparks.
Okay.
Rest in peace, Sparks.
Yeah.
God, I used to keep a spare in the mesh pocket of my backpack.
Can I just say there's no such thing as a spare Sparks? They are all primary Sparks.
I loved Sparks so much. I loved
Sparks.
Them.
Spelled with an X.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's good.
Is it? I don't remember it being
spelled maybe
with
not.
An X.
Maybe it just feels like it should be spelled with
probably.
An X. You might be right. It might be a KS. Anyway.
That's probably a soft spot that I would revisit and be like, nope. But yeah. I remember it fondly. Anyway, I got fired from that job for like not selling enough Rockin' Republic jeans.
Like a certain brand?
Are not selling enough like high-end denim. Like, we had to sell a certain number of jeans.
Oh, okay.
Turns out later, I was clued in that the manager just didn't like me. It was just some girl-on-girl hate, which I didn't realize we had a problem.
You know what?
But, yeah, she called me one day when I was hungover. I remember I was laying in my bed. Mm-hmm. I think it was right after my birthday. I was laying in my bed with my sunglasses on. All of the lights off. And
there's
she
six
called
cans
me
of empty Sparks
to give
next
me
to your
like
bed.
A performance review and tell me that I was fired.
Oh man.
And I was like, okay.
How did it feel? It doesn't feel good to be fired. Even if you hate the job, it doesn't feel good.
I just didn't care.
Oh good.
I didn't care.
That's
I was
good.
So tired of like everything that I had reached a breaking point. And I was like, fire me. It's fine.
Do you think if you could go back to Metro Park today, you would be able to sell premium denim at a better rate?
I look back at those jeans and I'm like, it's a miracle I ever sold a single pair of jeans with like rhinestones on the ass. Like, what were
Well, you were in Texas.
I know, but what were we thinking in the early aughts? What were we thinking?
It's literally from 1999 Criminal. To 2002 was probably the darkest period in American culture.
I know.
For like pop culture anyway.
Oh my God.
Fashion, music, everything was terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah. And so I'm not a salesperson, I guess you could say.
Right.
And then I had a crazy boss in New York, and I don't want to get too much into that one because it's a little more serious.
Mafia, is that why?
It's the last time that I had like an office job, and it was when I was 22, just got to New York, and it was 2008 or 2009, mm-hmm. so you couldn't get a job anywhere.
Right.
And I had a degree and I'd, you know, work experience since I was 16. And everyone was like, well, do you want to be a free intern for 3 years and get more college credit? And I was like, but I'm done with college. I don't need any credit. I need money.
A lot of people don't know this. Half the homeless population in New York is just interns.
Yeah. well, you know, might as well be. Jeez. But anyways, I worked for this woman and she just... I took what I thought was like a marketing position because she had me running the like Twitter and the Facebook, which I'm terrible at.
The Friendster. the MySpace.
Yeah, exactly. Running all of these accounts for her cosmetical place. And I was doing it, but I was working crazy long hours. She had me like photoshopping stuff. She had me doing everything.
Yeah.
Then she started introducing me to people as her personal assistant.
Oh.
And I think the straw that broke the camel's back was one night she had me go scour the streets of Manhattan to find strawberry flavored bubblegum. Or not strawberry flavored bubblegum, sorry. Strawberry and bubblegum flavored toothpaste for her two kids before they went on vacation the next day.
Oh my gosh.
And my salary, I'm not kidding when I say, my salary was $27,000 a year.
Oh my God.
Do the math, people.
You should have been live tweeting your search as from the company Twitter as like the as your because you were the marketing person and be like, Dwayne Reed doesn't have the strawberry. It does have the bubble gum. I'm gonna have
to go. I called my dad and was like, can you overnight me some flavored toothpaste?
Oh,
she basically
really
made it sound like I couldn't go home until I got this done.
Those people.
And then I snapped. Yeah. And I screamed and called her names.
Yeah.
And just fully snapped.
Right.
And she had me removed from the building.
Hey, that's awesome. You got removed.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire style.
Yeah.
Did you bring a Renee Zellweger with you? Were you like, who's with me?
I did kind of look around like, you guys hear her barking my name like I'm an animal, right? You guys see that I don't even make enough money to pay my rent with even probably both of my paychecks. I was like living off of savings and like.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're just, like, I saved up my whole life to work here.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, is anybody coming with me? Well, I'm going to take this issue of Architectural Digest off the waiting table. Well, good for you for snapping. I think that's great. Getting escorted, go big and go home. That's what
exactly.
I always say.
Yeah. So there was that.
I had three straight up abusive bosses that were men, but I fell for them and worked for them for too long because I'm like I don't have boundaries and I'm a codependent person. So I just, they would yell at me and abuse me and I'd be like, this feels like love. And then I would stay.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, but your story was great. I don't really have time but mine was a cafe in Morristown called the Cubby Hole, which is now super successful. The original owner disappeared.
Yeah.
The guy that was picking on me.
It's crazy because every time you say the Cubby Hole, I think of the
lesbian bar. Yeah. I wish I worked there in New York.
No, me too.
You would have made way more than you would have at a cosmetical place, that's for sure. And then the Stress Factory Comedy Club that Vinny, I wouldn't say he was abusive, but we had it was a very personal relationship, and that's not how you should have your boss.
He talks so much that one time I fell asleep while he was talking.
That was hilarious. We were at the Montreal Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, and Meg got to meet Vinny Brand, and Vinny was talking for so long she fell asleep in the conversation. And ask me if he noticed.
I'm not a narcoleptic person, and he didn't even notice. Sleeping, sitting up, and he just kept
talking. Of course
he
didn't notice. I don't think he ever knew until I told him.
Yeah.
The construction job that I talk about in my act was abusive. I put the guy's name was Mark. I can't remember his last name. Oh, Mark Grace. I'll use his real name. I don't care. And I was 15. We were pouring hot tar on a roof. I've never done it before. And I dropped my hand in the hot tar and got tar on my knuckles, pulled it out, and it was just stuck to my knuckles. And I could see my skin starting to blister underneath the tar. So I go, oh, shit, what do I do? I was freaking out. I was starting to panic. And he was like, oh, it's no big deal. And he just reached over and and ripped it all off. Yeah.
Whoa.
And then he like gave me bandages.
Whoa.
And that was it. And I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do it. It might have even been the best way, like, to humanely, like, just get it over with.
Yeah, I've never really dealt with tar on the job before, so I don't really know.
It was great. They looked like Hershey Kisses on my neck. I'll never forget. But anyway.
That's gross.
But I don't know if I can't remember if I've ever, like, I've never been like, take this job and shove it. I've never done that, which I always wish I had.
Yeah, but it's good when you live a life where you never have reason to do that or even to fantasize about doing that.
I will mention one. I worked a work studies job at Rutgers. I worked the microfiche machine in the basement of the library. Microfiche is a thing that no one has used in 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And I was in charge of when someone wanted to use the machine to research newspapers from the 20s. You know how kids are doing that all
yeah.
the time? I stopped going because
So you were a human internet.
I was, kind
of.
And I was getting paid $4.75 an hour, which I don't think is a real number.
No.
And I got a new job at the Stress Factory, stopped going to the microfiche job, didn't say anything to anyone, and no one ever called me or mentioned it. So I think that they just forgot I was working there.
Wow, you ghosted on a job.
And they didn't even notice. That's how important that job was.
That's what I did to Victoria's Secret.
Oh, yeah.
I just stopped showing up, and no one ever called me either. They, like, asked one of my friends. I started working at Express.
Yeah.
Because I was just hopping mall jobs. And nobody ever said anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jobs, man.
Jobs.
Turns out, who cares?
Yeah.
So we want to introduce our next favorite episode from our archives. Let me check the microfiche film for our next favorite episode. We have a interview with one of our favorites, guys. We were charmed by him immediately.
Yeah.
He was from one of our favorite shows, The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And he was a co-star on the show. He's awesome. His name is Ross Marquand, and his soft spot is Highlander, the TV show, which neither of us had ever watched, but he got us pumped.
It was such a fun.
But he's great. He does impressions. He's so funny. So enjoy our interview with Ross Marquand. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. This is great. This is great.
So I want to get to it right away because we asked you what your soft spot was.
Yeah.
You said, and it was funny because it was a typo when our producer sent us what it was. He goes, the Highland series. And I was like, Highland, is that
And I was like, I think that's a show about getting high.
Oh. Yeah, is that like a dispensary show?
Because
there's like three weed dispensary shows right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's fine. We can watch that. And then he was like, no, Highlander. And I was like, oh, well, at least I know what that is.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're not familiar with the show?
Have not watched the show, but Ooh. You said it has an awesome theme song.
One of the most beautiful compositions ever made.
I would say. Wow. Well, can you cue that up right now?
I can do it right now.
We love music on this show.
As do I. And there's two songs that basically get played a lot on the show when they're trying to I'm sure that they paid exorbitant amounts of money for this because they went to Queen and they said, we would like your song to be on our show.
The Queen?
Not the Queen.
That can't be cheap.
It can't be cheap. And this is the main track. This is like whenever you watch the episode, this is how it starts. Okay.
Okay. This is credits.
This is the opening sequence. They usually have like a little opening where they're introducing the story for that episode, and then they come in with this.
Okay.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the
Wait a second. Okay, I think that's all we can play and not get sued.
Okay.
But
I can't believe
does Queen rock or something?
They're amazing.
I know.
The other day he was like, what do you think about Queen? And I was like, what do you mean, what do I think about Queen?
Have you heard
like,
of this
I
Queen
never really
band?
Got into them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how do you not get into
Queen? Oh, man.
Queen?
It's just so beautiful.
They wrote that. That was commissioned?
It was commissioned, I believe. And then Who Wants to Live Forever was a song that they also paid for. But I think that was actually written for Freddie.
Okay.
And as Church was saying yesterday, as he was passing. And
It
was kind of like a swan song for them, quite
that
literally.
That song rocks.
Yeah. And Who Wants to Live Forever. So the premise, Who Wants to Live Forever, ties in very perfectly for this because Duncan MacLeod, and this is obviously
that's the character's name.
Yes, the main character is played by Adrian Paul, and it's basically loosely based on the Highlander movies with Connor MacLeod, and Connor was played by the illustrious Christopher Lambert.
I have two questions already.
Yeah, sure. One, who's Christopher Lambert?
No. Was there a book that this was all based on, or was this a movie?
That's
first?
A great question. I don't know the answer.
I don't think.
I don't think it was.
As I feel like you would know.
Yeah, I don't think that's. It probably, I mean, it's so outlandish, I doubt it would be anything other than this crazy 80s movie. And it's like, so the premise is, you know, there's immortals, and they can only be killed fully by chopping their head off.
Okay.
And if you just get stabbed or if you're poisoned or whatever, you'll come back to life. But if you get your head chopped off, that kills you, and then you can inherit that person's powers.
Ooh.
Wow.
And it's kind of like Jehovah's Witness. There's only a certain amount of immortals on the planet. So, you know, like, there's a chosen one.
Yeah.
200,000 people or so.
I love that you assume we just know what Jehovah's Witnesses are.
Oh, okay.
You know.
So Jehovah's Witnesses, there's like 200,000 souls.
I thought you were
going to
say they couldn't celebrate Halloween.
There is a soul quota or something.
Oh, okay.
Set number of saved people.
Right.
And it's very similar in this. It's like there's a set number of immortals on the planet. Mm-hmm. There's never going to be any more. And it kind of goes into the origin of that in Highlander 2, The Quickening, which doesn't really explain much. It's very convoluted. But the main thrust of the story is the Highlander is from the Highlands of Scotland, and he's been living for over 400 years. Going from place to place, and he's
just trying to not get his head cut off.
Is
he trying to cut other heads off?
So oh, sure.
Get... Oh, okay.
Sure. That's the whole thing. It's
he's
the
no
fun
saint.
Of it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Oh no, he's no saint, but he's a good guy. He's a really good guy, but he only wants to hurt the bad guys. He coexists with the other immortals that are good, and actually helps a young man named Richie, played by Stan Kirsch. He helps him come up and understand his powers, but he senses him.
Right.
You know, every episode you can see him kind of look around, and there's this swooshing sound, like whoosh, whenever
when he senses a Highlander,
when he senses another immortal,
okay.
And then he's like, well, am I gonna have to chop someone's head off, or, or is this gonna be someone that I'm cool with,
or am I gonna team up?
We're gonna team up, exactly. Yeah, and then he does team up with several immortals throughout time, but it's got the most amazing cameos. It's got Roger Daltrey from The Who.
Wait, before we get there,
okay, sorry,
what's the lead actor's name?
Adrian Paul.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10, how hot is this guy?
The most beautiful man maybe ever. He's gorgeous.
I asked for a number, Ross.
Definitely a 9.
Okay.
On certain days, most definitely a 10. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Who's the hottest guy on Walking Dead?
Well, this one.
That was a good save. Because he's not going to say himself.
No, I would say Andy's probably the hottest guy on our show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, who's hotter, Andy or this the Highlander?
Oh, that's a tough. Don't make me
actually choose.
I think actually Adrian Paul for because Adrian was like a model at one point, I think, and he, I mean, he's like, when you look at him, you're like, oh yeah, that dude was a model,
right?
And he did all these martial arts. He was in many ways a much better Highlander than Christopher Lambert.
Okay,
I would say. Hope he's not listening to this podcast.
I want to be pictured because I saw a picture of the Highlander without watching the series, and I can tell he's a good looking dude, but I just want to know, you know, I didn't get to see him in action or whatever, so I'm trying to get a concept of how like charismatic this guy is.
Incredibly charismatic. Okay. And he, you know, I think he's born in London, but he did a perfect Scottish accent.
God, that's not easy. Tough one.
Yeah,
it is tough.
Can you do it?
Well, no. I mean, he sort of, you know, he's like, it's very sort of, you know, like his was more Edinburgh. I do more like a Glaswegian. Like,
oh yeah.
Right. So is what going on down here for the pipe? Or that,
like
you
the
know,
dummy,
like,
the dummies.
Like the yeah. And I don't know how to do the more. I can do like a Ewan McGregor. Uh-huh. Which is, it's just very high pitched and just.
Oh, wow, that sounds just like.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. I can't believe this Highland Scotch. It's very tasty. You know, it's very good. You know?
Wow.
But I can't do what he. Like, Adrian Paul was a nice mix of dulcet tones, but also a little bit of a deeper register.
Like immortal.
Like an immortal.
Yeah.
As an immortal should be. Yeah. So.
That's amazing. Okay. So he's basically roaming Scotland, essentially.
At first. And then once he gets killed in battle, and then he comes back to life, they're like, you're cursed. We're going to cast you out. And he's like, no, I'm still, it's me. It's Duncan. They're like, no, you're obviously cursed. And he's cast out of his family.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, you can't be here. And then Christopher Lambert, his cousin, essentially, Connor comes and says, "It's okay, I'll teach you the ropes, and
we're going to have to cut some heads.
We're going to have to move around a lot, because of course, like, once people find out, when you die, that's how the age you're at for the rest of time. So there's kid immortals too who are unfortunately killed at like the age of 12.
Okay,
and it's whatever age you are
to be stuck in puberty for.
I know. What if you're 13?
Yeah. Ugh. But look, whatever.
Hi guys. Yeah. I'm immortal.
Yeah. And they delve into that one episode. But like, whatever age you're at when you first die, that's what you're going to be for the rest of time until you lose your head.
Oh man,
which is pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
If I knew that, I'd have been like, all right, 27. I'm just going to like get to 27. That was a great age, you know.
Well, what would yours be?
Well, it would be peak body, because mine, you're going to learn as you don't age, right? Because you're still alive and learning and gaining wisdom.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you would want, because normally I would not want to be 27.
You would want to be varsity baseball,
no,
Julian.
No, I was too skinny. I was varsity. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no, no. It's okay.
I hate it when people bring it up, but I guess 25, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
What about you?
I think I would go with like 28 or 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
Yeah, because I look at pictures when I'm like 20 to 25, and it's hard to get respect.
I really wore my party on my face.
Oh, did you?
So I don't really feel like, you know, I'd like a slightly more mature version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a little bit of lineage, a little bit of experience on a dude looks better. So being 21, it's like you're called, like, you know, boy still.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So you want some of that sadness in the eyes.
Right. So 27, 20, that's a good, respectable, I think.
Right.
Yeah, and then late 20s, early 30s, I think is good.
So when was this series on?
This was on from like 91 or 92 until like 1997, I want to say.
Okay.
And it was filmed in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And also in France. And so the greatest thing was, like, it was a French-Canadian production company, and they were always showcasing the most beautiful parts of the world. I mean, they I don't know what their budget was like, but they taught you a lot about history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was kind of amazing where you were, you know, you're going into the civil rights movement and going into the suffrage movement and all these amazing times, World War II. Like, throughout time, Duncan is encountering, and he's, of course, a great asset because he can't be killed, or he can't be killed for good. He was an amazing, you know, in some ways, like, spy, and in other ways, he was a freedom fighter. I mean, it's a really cool story to, like, get into the history of the world, and a great story plot point to go there, you know?
It sounds like if Quantum Leap took the long way.
Precisely. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's
like, instead of jumping back, it's like, oh, I'm just living through all of this in real time.
Yeah.
And how would he get status in each situation? So, like, if he's in the civil rights movement, right? If he has any kind of influence of any kind, just because he's immortal doesn't mean much. You don't just walk into town, you're like, hey guys, trust me, I can help.
Right.
Like,
I've been around for 300 years.
Yeah.
You guys should listen to me.
You guys are worried about black people? That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Like, that's
For one thing, he obviously amasses a ton of money over the years. I mean, like, he's become this multimillionaire, obviously, because he's like, you round that long, you're like, I'm going to save this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep it rolling in an IRA account, you know, like,
I'm
going to take care of myself.
I was going to say,
get smart about your finances when you're immortal.
Oh, but here's the other thing. You can't have kids.
Oh.
So that's the other thing. Like, not because it's not moral or ethically sound. You literally cannot have kids as an immortal.
Right.
You're unable to.
Mm. So, also, he's a dude.
Right.
Yeah. That's an interesting twist.
Yeah. So he cannot impregnate anyone.
Do they ever get into how they are given their status?
No, not really.
That's crazy.
But like, you know, it causes some issues. Like, he finally tells his first, you know, lover in like 200 years. They have this, the first season or two is like this arc about how he wants to have a child with, you know, this woman, but he can't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's obviously accepted this, but she's obviously still a little upset about this, but she loves him very much. I mean, it's a really...
He sounds like a way better dude than I would assume for a guy who could live for 400 years, have a ton of money, not get anybody pregnant.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
Could move wherever.
Yeah, you'd think he wouldn't give a shit about what people thought.
Felt. But that's the thing, and that's why it's beautiful with the song Who Wants to Live Forever, the Queen, because it's like, who does want to live forever? That's the whole thrust of the show is the amount of sadness and hurt and you know, it goes into some pretty heavy shit in the show.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I don't know. If we all say we want to live forever, but do you really want to?
Man, you really already have me sold on this show.
It's
I can't.
So
I kind of can't wait to watch it. Can we watch it?
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Okay. I think it's on Netflix still.
I love shows that insert people into historical things. I just love that. I'm such a dork for that stuff.
If you like Quantum Leap.
I tried to go back and I'm like, because that was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. I tried to go back. It does not hold up.
Oh, it doesn't?
I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
It's too like, you know, the editing back then and everything. It's like the pacing is awful and, you know, some of the acting is just like so corny. it's closer to MacGyver than I remembered. You know what I mean? Where it's just like not very good quality.
Yeah.
But I loved it at the time. You know,
and
Bacula is a piece.
Oh, he's
a
real handsome guy.
Yeah.
I don't tend to revisit like stuff I watched when I was a kid because I'm pretty sure it was all pretty bad.
All pretty bad, yeah.
Dean Stockwell, though, he was pretty great.
He was great.
They're back and forth. They had a good.
It's kind of amazing to me when things do hold up. I'm like, how? That's right. I mean, for something to be so good that you can still watch it 30 years later, 40 years later, it's like that's incredible.
Yeah.
Like Labyrinth, which is perfect.
so good.
It's the first classic I thought of.
Yeah.
So it was about 7 seasons.
Yeah.
And have you only watched it one time through?
No, God, no.
Oh, right.
No. Kidding me? No. It's funny because I will say if you do decide to go down this path.
Mm-hmm.
Which I fully recommend you two and listeners who are at home, watch Highlander, the series, immediately. But know that you're going to have to suffer through the first season, which is kind of cheesy.
Oh, really?
It's some cheesy, cheesy moments in the first season. We're like, oh my God, this is so stupid.
Well, that warning is good, though, because if we had gone home and watched it, we'd be like, oh, Ross is dumb.
But once you get past that first season,
I'm
and it's cheese.
I'm pretty forgiving about first seasons.
Yeah.
I feel like that's when you're kind of working everything out. And you don't really...
I think they had to draw viewers in with some cheese factor and some like sex scenes here and there, but then it goes into some darker stuff and you're like, oh, this is great. And it's great. I mean, they have, like I was saying, like the most amazing cameos. I've got Roger Daltrey from The Who. He's in several episodes. Marion Cotillard had her first appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think she got her start on that show. What's his name from Fine Young Cannibals?
The singer?
Yeah.
I never knew his name, actually.
I can't remember his name.
I'll be shocked if you know his name.
Yeah, but I remember the character he played was Xavier St. Cloud. And I was
man,
like,
you do have this show memorized.
Yeah,
and
I'm looking
Mythos
up what his name
and,
is.
Oh my God, there was...
Roland
Giff. Thank you.
Wow, so that
seems
like Roland Giff sounds like a made-up name.
I know.
It does sound
Xavier
like a made-up
St. Cloud
He also
is like,
was an amazing-looking person, that guy, Roland Giff. He was like a very interesting-looking person.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, It's good. You should watch it. I'm
what
so
is
excited for you to
what
watch
is
it.
The there can be only one thing? What is that all about?
Essentially there's the prize and this gets tied in like if you
watch
Highlander.
That's the slogan of the show, right?
Yeah.
Or it's there can be only one.
And I had a Highlander themed party once and the theme for it, do you know what it's going to be?
Last Man Standing is
no.
the Highlander?
No. Oh. On the invite I put there can be only fun.
Oh my God.
I was real proud of that one.
Oh my God. How have we never met? That is right up my alley.
My friends were like, you're such a nerd. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we watched the first one, the first movie, and then a couple of the episodes, and they were like, I can see why you like it.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to spread the gospel of the Highlander. It's amazing.
When you first got into it, did you know what you were watching? Or were you just like, you just caught some TV and it just happened to be great and blow your mind?
Yeah. I mean, I saw the highly edited Highlander movie prior to the TV show when I was a kid. And I was like, what the hell is this? I don't even know. And it's so funny because Christopher Lambert's supposed to be from Scotland, obviously. But I think he's actually... maybe French or I don't remember exactly, but he was also the actor raised in like Manhattan for a while and he traveled all over Europe. So his accent is all over the place.
Yeah.
And Sean Connery is supposed to be this Egyptian by way of Spain.
What?
Juan
trade.
Yeah. He's like, exactly. And he's like, Juan Villaraigosa de la Cruz is his name. And you're like, I am from Spain. And you're like, no, you're not. And Christopher Lambert is like, yes.
Yeah.
His voice sounds like this. No joke. He's like, I'm from lots of places. Ha ha ha. And he has this like weird laugh. You're like, what the fuck? Who are you? You
That's
know?
Great.
And yeah, so I definitely have you seen the movie yet?
No, mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything.
Oh,
hold on, sorry. I had a long drive and I never went to the bathroom and I really got to go.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Are you going to die?
Yeah, I'm going to die. I'll be right back. But you guys can keep talking.
Yeah, please.
No, seriously, keep talking because maybe something will happen. And
So, he doesn't usually do that.
No, it's all right.
But here we are.
But I'm 40.
Nature calls. Nature calls, you know. So tell me about your hair. For those who can't see her hair, who are listening because
it's
a podcast.
It's like pinkish purplish.
Yes, a little light magenta, yeah?
Yeah. Magenta's a good descriptor.
I like it.
Who'd you
have it done by, or did you do it yourself?
I used to be a hairstylist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So I was just bored last night, and I was like...
Oh, just up last night?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like 1 a.m., I was like, it's Halloween season.
1 a.m., you were like in bed, you're like,
Yeah. No, I'm like, I am always so late to bed. I was like, I'm going to do something crazy with my hair.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you just had this stuff on hand?
Oh, yeah. I stay super stocked. Because I still have a bunch of private clients.
Oh, awesome.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. How long does that take? Like an hour or two?
No, it took like 30 minutes. Yeah. It's not like regular hair color where you have to sit there and wait. This shit like stains your hair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Could you do that to me?
Oh, my God. Let's do your hair.
When I get back, can you do... I'd like it at a beard, actually. That would be fun.
I've done some beards before.
A magenta beard.
Yeah.
That would look cool.
There are all kinds of colors. The possibilities are truly endless.
Do you have turquoise?
We could do some turquoise.
Do you have niecewise? That's tuna. Never mind. Do you have periwinkle?
I could make periwinkle.
Do you have amarillo?
I do have amarillo.
Bueno. Burnt sienna? Do you have burnt sienna? That's pretty close to my our natural color, so
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah, we're not that far off.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to go in a more ginger direction, we can make that happen.
I do. I always want to go in a more ginger direction in general. It's in life.
What happened?
It's fine. Nothing.
We're talking about
that. We'll
we're talking about... We were just talking about hair, actually.
Oh, she's going to dye my beard.
When
I get back. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
To what?
We're thinking niecewise.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
No. Periwinkle?
Periwinkle.
Burnt sienna?
Burnt sienna.
I thought niecewise was a tuna salad.
It is.
It is.
Oh,
yeah. It is.
I went from turquoise to niecewise.
I've never heard anybody use niecewise in conversation.
How do you say niecewise? Is it niecewise?
I like it's the way
niecewise,
you're saying it.
Yeah.
Niecewise-y. Like the bourgeoisie.
Oh,
I
yeah.
speak a little French. And
niçoise.
I am embarrassed to say when I read it in my head on the menu, I always say niçoise.
Niçoise. It sounds like
that. But I'm from Philly.
Yeah. It sounds like knee swab. Like a swab for your knee.
Mm-hmm.
Knee swabs.
Mm-hmm.
Knee swabs.
Knee swabs.
From Q-tip.
We watched a video. I don't know what those were from.
You do crazy impressions.
Oh, thank you. I was like, you started out, you are, and I was like, oh, man. What did I do? Who did I piss off now?
Is that just a straight up natural talent, or do you have to study like the way, is there a studying factor?
Yeah, I study. I mean, like, there's only a few voices that just came naturally to me. Mm. John C. Reilly was one that came out of... pure like because I got a last minute audition for Wreck-It Ralph 5 years ago and they needed a voice match. I was like, oh crap, I've never done John C. Reilly, but I could trial. Oh yeah. God, oh there it is.
It's so crazy.
It just like it came out of like
no
pure...
one does him right. I don't know anybody that's
not.
Ever done
I hope not because I want to corner that market.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But it's usually it takes time. Usually it takes like studying how the person sits and how they move. Like
right.
James Gandolfini was one that I really just
that
had
was
to
really
watch.
Impressive, yeah.
Thanks. He's one that just like you see him kind of sit on his throat a little bit. He
had sort of he slouched over. What is this? Come here. And he spoke to his nose.
It's unbelievable.
He always to his nose. He's like, yeah, what's going on here? That's hey, come crazy. Here. I want to talk to you, you know?
Like, so I think like an instrument, you have to change your body and manipulate how you're moving, you know?
I noticed in your McConaughey one, you were using a lot of body movement.
Yeah.
But he does talk all crazy.
Oh, yeah.
His hands are all over here.
Yeah.
Crazy. I just want him to like have a show. I think we need a weekly podcast or address from McConaughey. I think he should be president.
A week, like a fireside chat.
Totally.
And he just starts it. He's like, all right.
Yeah. Where he's just like talking. He's rapping with the country. And he's like, you know, we're going through some tough times, you know? economically, you know, sexually, gender-wise. We got a whole, we're just mixing up a whole lot of things here.
He's playing drums a little bit.
Yeah, I feel drum. Like there he's isn't like, really enough of him around right now. Yeah. What is he even doing? He's jogging he's doing shirtless stuff. In Austin.
I know.
Is that what he's doing? Yeah.
I mean, a guy like him, he can do, that's can the do thing. Whatever. It's really just up to him. And so if he doesn't feel like getting out of bed, he doesn't really have to.
Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. What was that commercial he did? It was like Cadillac.
For Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah.
Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah.
Sometimes just, you're like, driving around.
Yeah. It's wild. Just okay. Like, I guess that's just all the stuff he's thinking about while he's driving. Yeah.
Apparently, they just let him go. They said,
I was going to say, they're like, here's a script. He's like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah. I think they just let, they're like, here's where we'd like you to wind up. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, here's point A and here's point
Get
B.
Get there
but,
however you
And he took
do.
The back roads.
Yeah. I just like the twiddle of his fingers, too, just like when he's just looking at the road.
He's rolling an imaginary joint.
Yeah, I can't believe this right here, what I'm seeing. You know, it's like the road goes on forever. Like life. It's just one big circle, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's almost becoming Rusty Cole from
True
Detective.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, bro, you gotta stay with us. Stay with us. Like,
I'm not an actor in that sense, but I can. I always wonder if it's kind of what's the word? Seductive, or, right? Is that a word? Seductive to.
It is a word.
If you find a character and you get to play a character that you really like embodying,
yeah,
it can kind of. Does that part of you not want to leave it?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think for him, I mean, because that was a guy that was so close to him. I mean, he got to, you know, pontificate about any number of very lofty concepts and talk about it with great ease, you know?
Yeah. Well, look what happened when Jim Carrey played Andy Kaufman. He kind of lost it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't separate himself from him. Wild.
I think it's time for me to pitch my show to you.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right.
Christopher Walken is a zombie.
Oh.
And the show is called
The Walking Dead. I like it.
And it's a zombie. And he's the only one that can talk, but he can only say one word. And it's brains.
Brains. Brains.
Yeah.
Brains.
Yes.
It's like Groot, but yeah. So I gotta have them.
How many episodes do you think we could do with that?
Easily 16. And I bet if we put it on like Adult Swim and make it like just like a very like meta self-reflexive piece, people be like, "Yep, it's genius." Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, it's like he's the one giving just with different tonal stuff, like the speech at the end to the kid. You know, he's like teaching. He's like, "Brains." Brian's. Yeah. It's like, oh, Ryan, okay.
And occasionally he screws up and says, Brian's. Like, wait, do you know my name? It's not Brian, but that's so close. It's Ryan. No, Brian's.
I was like, I thought we had a moment.
Shit. And then he just opens
and then
up the kid's
the kid.
Brain. He's like, ow. Fooled you.
Anyway, so we have it's on record here. Nobody can take this idea.
No, one can.
We did
trademarked.
It.
TM.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, the 2019 FabFitFun Fall Box is on sale now. It has lots of great stuff in it. As fall approaches, you might want to prepare with a cute scarf. There's a scarf in there. There's an Amika Perfect Ceramic Styler, and that's pretty big because I am a hairstylist, and Amika makes really great products, great styling tools. So that's a huge value. That thing's got to be worth at least $80 on its own. And there's an Anthropology travel yoga mat, and there's also a cheese board.
Yeah.
And I love a cute way to present food, and I love cheese, baby. So it's a lifestyle subscription box. It's filled with full-size premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and wellness products that are sent straight to your doorstep each season. They take the hassle out of shopping by doing it for you. And each box is customized to your specific interests. So you can kind of pick and choose. They give you some options. I personally like to be surprised, but some people out there like to pick. The fall box is the perfect way to treat yourself and keep cool with the carefully curated box of products. As you transition from summer vibes to cozy fall sweaters, they want to give us our time back by doing the shopping for us. These boxes sell out really fast, so you want to go ahead and sign up for yours today. I always love opening my box. It's like getting a ton of presents that I didn't have to pay very much for at all. Usually there's at least one product in the box that's worth like the 40.
Box.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just such a great deal. Everything is full size. There are no sample sizes. And I love that. And it's honestly led me to find some of my favorite like beauty and skincare products. Mm-hmm. I've gotten one of my favorite pairs of headphones out of there. There's just always a lot of really fun, good stuff. It's also a great gift. It retails for $49.99, but like I said, the value is always definitely over $200. This box, it looks like it probably clocks in at about $400, which is pretty crazy. If you use our coupon code SOFTSPOT, SOFTSPOT, you get $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. That's www.fabfitfun.com using coupon code SOFTSPOT for $10 off your first box. Go get it.
Sorry, we left Highlander for so long.
Oh, yes.
We did. Your pee break threw everything off.
I know, I'm sorry.
We've already decided on a beard color. Mm-hmm. We've got the impressions.
So the show, is it your favorite show of all time?
God, that's a good question. No, I think, I know it's cliche, but I think Breaking Bad is probably my favorite show. I
mean, it's pretty good.
Breaking Bad just takes you on this amazing journey from start to finish, and the character development's incredible. But I think as a guilty pleasure, my soft spot, if you will.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for.
And, all right.
Do you just put on episodes when you want to watch it? Or do you watch like from the beginning? Like, do you have to watch it chronologically?
Oh, God, no. That would be, I mean, that'd be tough. I mean, it's like Die Hard for me. Die Hard's my favorite movie of all time because my favorite film of all time is 2001: A Space Odyssey, but my favorite movie of all time is Die Hard. Like, I could put that on. It could pop on TV, and I know it's edited for TV,
right?
And it's going to be a really bad version of it, but I'll still I'll watch it.
Yeah,
it'll be 30-40 minutes in, and I'll be like, "Yep, this is how I'm spending my night."
Your Blu-ray of it is right there. And you're like, "Nah, I'd rather watch it on USA Today with commercials
because I like the idea
USA
of the
Today. That's not a channel.
Yeah. But I like the idea of the shared viewing, knowing that other people are also watching this exact commercially edited version of it right now with me. That excites me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's exciting to me.
What's a movie that you like would always just leave on if you watch it if it comes on TV?
I mean, I don't watch that much TV.
Yeah, you don't.
What?
Yeah, well, you haven't on
I
tape.
Only watch and have only, for the last couple of years, watched The Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
It's the only current show that I watch.
You must
It's a coincidence.
No.
You're not
at all.
Okay. You're not being stanned right now or anything like that. It's a coincidence that you were able to do the show and we're so happy, but it is the only
it
show
is my
she
favorite
watches.
Was that an Eminem reference?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The kids use it.
It didn't sound as smooth coming off your tongue, but I'll take it.
No. I just wanted to make sure.
Did it sound whack? Did it sound a little bit whack?
I just wanted to make sure I was following.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're not going to put me in a trunk and that was his girlfriend Stan.
I don't know the whole backstory. I just know you use it when you're like a stalker.
Right? I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Stan.
The
okay,
kids
cool.
say it.
Mm-hmm. The kids.
Yeah. But just truthfully, it is my favorite
awesome.
Show. So
oh, cool.
I'm like super, super jazzed.
Did you watch
But that's the thing. I don't have TV, so I buy the whole season on Amazon and then I watch it.
Well, that episode's available
by
now, right?
And I'm not super on social media, so I don't have to be like,
Wait, did it just premiere again?
Yeah, just two nights ago.
Oh, that's why I saw that's why I saw Rick again on the wall.
Yep.
So we got to watch it. I didn't know it came out so recently. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's why I'm
so
back.
Smart.
No, it's all good.
Is it okay? Can we ask you a couple of obvious questions that probably everybody asks you about the show?
Yeah, yeah.
How sweaty is it really?
So,
like, are they making you guys sweaty, or are you sweating?
It's ironic because the first 5.5 months you are genuinely sweating that much, but around mid-October, that's when it gets quite chilly.
They fake sweat you.
It's quite chilly, but they obviously, you know, it's supposed to be set in the south.
Oh, right,
it's
the like, season changes.
So they're like, yeah, we're still pretending it's summer, and you're like, oh crap, because it's really quite cold. And they're spraying you down with these things, and you're, I mean, we've done, like last November, we did this thing where I was shooting in the rain, and they had the rain machine going like crazy. And I'll be honest, at the end of it, I was, you know, just shivering like crazy.
Yeah.
I thought I might get hypothermia from that, but it was, luckily they have great medics on set who were wrapping me in blankets every take.
They're like, you will get hypothermia, but we've got it covered.
Yeah, I'm like covered in mud and blood, you know, fake blood, obviously, but, and just rain coursing over us like every single take, and we were freezing. It was very cold, you know, so.
I'm always, when I hear about, you know, film sets and stuff where people get, where they put the actors through hell and they actually do get like sick or whatever. I'm always like, you know, that's always incredible to me. Like
happens
Apocalypse Now and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that
they all really died.
They all really died. Apparently, Martin Sheen was on something for that hotel scene when he's doing like Tai Chi and he actually does punch the mirror.
Oh, really?
That was his blood. He apparently did
cut
it.
Yeah, but he did that.
He did that, But I mean, have you seen, there's a documentary called, Hearts of Darkness, about that, the making of.
I know of it. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, just go there.
Yeah.
Because, like, the documentary of making Apocalypse Now is actually, I think, in many ways more entertaining than the movie. Because you see, like, Harrison Ford and Lawrence Fishburne and all these guys, you know, like, they're talking about the experience of it all. And they were, there was some crazy stuff that happened on that shoot, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have a question.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Were you into the graphic novels or the comics of it, or before you did the show?
Not really, because I was that kid who was always hanging out at Mile High Comics in Denver, where, you know, like, I was at the comic store every freaking weekend.
Comic Book World.
Comic Book World?
In Maple Shade, New Jersey.
But Oh, you're from Philly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Oh, but you went across the state?
No. Well, Philly and Mapleshade and Morristown, they're like 10 minutes from each other.
Oh, gotcha. So, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, like, I collected all the comic cards. I didn't have enough money to buy the comic books, but I would go there every Saturday and read them. Because I was like, I'll be that kid who, you know, didn't pay for shit, but, like, you know, I read all of them.
There's a poster in Mars of Lobo. Remember Lobo, the character?
Yeah,
and
of course.
And it said, you bend it, you bought it, fanboy.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want you to read all the books.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. It's not good for their business. But, I mean, you could have your friend running interference, like, with the clerk while you read through, like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Like, Logan did the craziest shit this week. You know? But because I spent so much time there as a kid, by the time I got to my early 30s and, you know, my buddy Doug had a compendium of Walking Dead. I was like, I can't, man. I can't get into another one.
It's not something you can dabble in.
You can't dabble in it. It's like, I can't get addicted to something else. And then when I got the part, I talked to our showrunner, Scott Gimple, and I said,
Should
I read them? And do you want me to borrow a lot from the material? He's like, yeah, absolutely. Take whatever you want and make it your own. Mm-hmm. But, like, definitely, Robert has laid out this amazing world for us. Like, it'd be silly not to, you know, glean some sort of inspiration from that. So I bought the compendiums all when I got the part, and I housed them so quickly. I read them all. Yeah.
Well, you have a good work ethic.
Thank you.
That's why.
Thank you. Also, I was like, kind of like, all right, I got an excuse to buy comics.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I was excited.
Comic book shop. What a tough biz, because you're relying mostly on kids that don't have any money to buy your stuff.
Right.
It's like the dumbest, strategy.
They kind of don't really exist anymore.
They still have.
There aren't that many. There's that one. There's a pretty good one in Pasadena, but I feel like I don't ever.
There's a great one in Glendale that I go to quite a bit, and there's one in Echo Park too. What's it called? I can't remember the name, but there's some great places still that you're like, oh. And it's cool because you can still see kids playing D&D and that experience
Warhammer
is still
that
there's still people doing that, you know. I just love that. I love the camaraderie of it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, I was a Magic the Gathering person.
Oh, yeah. You and my brother. Yeah,
me and my friend Craig would ride our bikes across town, like 4 miles or whatever, to go to Comic Book World and then play Magic. And it was funny as we were 12, 13, and there were like 40-year-old dudes that were like graphic designers that were like obese, and they would just buy all the cards, and then they'd kick the butts, kick 13-year-old kids' butts, and be taunting us, and like it's like
I still don't really understand how that works.
Yeah,
it's. You it's mean like a man that wants to beat children at a game?
The game itself, it's like a card game, but it's also kind of like make-believe, you're sort of pretending, right?
Mm-hmm. It's all those wonderful things.
Yeah.
the cards have abilities, there's creatures on them, and you're a planeswalker.
So it's
you're
like the original Pokemon, sort of.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Pokemon basically ripped off Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And they're like,
I can feel your anger when you say that. They basically ripped it off.
Were you one of those people that when the Pokemon Go app came out, you're like, just derivative bullshit?
I was like, that's for kids. Yeah. I'm 13.
I was blown away. I still lived in New York when it came out, and I remember watching people in Central Park, herds of people.
Yeah.
And it kind of scared me because I was just like, what is this doing?
And then it just like disappeared.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
What happened?
I think like all fads, you know, I mean, they have a timeline you know.
A couple of people got really hurt.
Oh, that's right.
A woman had like a hard door, like a metal door opened on her and it like cracked her skull.
Oh, wow.
And there was a lady that got hit by a car while she was doing it.
Yeah. On the street. Yeah.
Man.
No thanks.
Called natural selection.
Yeah, exactly.
That is.
So, are you a big Queen fan? Getting back to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
are you looking forward to the movie? Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. Okay. But I'm so excited because I know initially Sacha Baron Cohen was, I think, going to be playing.
Oh, wow. He would have been.
Great.
What happened to that?
I don't know. I don't know. Because, you know.
Who is it now?
It's Rami Malek.
He went in to read and he was like,
right,
I like to ride my bike. And they were like, I don't think you're right for this.
My bike.
My bicycle.
It would have been interesting because I think that, you know, Sacha doesn't get enough credit for being a serious actor. Like, it takes a lot of. Not only balls, but like also just like it takes chops to do what he goes there, you know. And I think it would have been amazing.
He's a lot older than Rami Malek, so maybe it was an age thing.
Maybe. Yeah. But I'm excited regardless. I think Rami's going to do a fantastic job. So
yeah,
Okay.
Is he singing in it, or are they using Freddie Mercury's voice?
I believe he is singing in a lot of it. So
that's crazy impressive.
What I love
Freddie Mercury's vocals are just.
Operatic.
Everybody says he's like the best rock singer of all time, which I take umbrage with, but it's fine.
Robert,
did you know that
Robert
Axl Rose has more octaves than anybody?
Oh my god.
That's true. That is a good point.
Do you stan him?
I do. Oh. If he was here, if Axl was here, I wouldn't even be able to be in the room. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No offense. I appreciate your work as well.
No. But, it's all good. I do not compete with Axl Rose.
But now that I know that you had a party where it was there can be only fun, we're just going to hang out.
Do you know where he got his name from? Axl Rose? Oh, he didn't get his name. Well, he created his name.
Oh, you mean William Bailey?
But do you know where he created that name? It's an anagram. You know,
for oral sex.
Right.
Yeah. But it also spells war, W. Axl Rose.
I never knew that.
It's W. Axl Rose. War is the whatever the initials, and then it also is an anagram for oral sex, which is definitely a name you make up
when you found.
You're 20.
When I found that out, I was like, "That's such a
silly it's really
thing
stupid.
To do." Like, yeah, it's like,
yeah.
But at the same time, like. That's,
I get
when
it.
When you find out, you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. I guess.
Slash, we don't need to talk about Guns N' Roses. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I don't mean to turn the subject. She does not need to hear about Guns N' Roses anymore.
Oh, do you talk about
that? No. It's cool.
Slash got his nickname the most organic way, which is he was... he would move through his friend's houses. So one of his friend's parents... Slash would come to their house and go straight to the fridge and take food and then run out. And he was so quick at it that his friend's dad was like trying to like stop him from doing it, and he couldn't. And he was like, he slashes back and forth. I can't even catch him. He's too quick. So they called him Slash.
That's amazing.
That's a good nickname.
It's not
a good name.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, wow, Axl Rose. I'm pretty impressed by that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Do you like Guns N' Roses, or is this kind of like a sore spot?
No, I just no.
That's
a, they're fine.
That's another podcast. The sore spot.
Sore spot.
They're fine. Ooh. I was never like a huge fan. No,
I just talk about them too much.
November Rain. What's your favorite?
Mostly just the early, like 86 and 87, whatever they'd recorded during that time.
Yeah.
And then after that, I can like some of it, but mostly it's just the raw. There was like a year there where they were like the greatest thing of all time. Yeah. And then after that, no, not at all.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So
Mr.
fine.
Brownstone was a good one, too.
It was a great one. I used to think that song was about landlords because as a kid, you make songs that you don't understand about what you do understand.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And I thought Mr. Brownstone kept knocking on the door for the rent.
Yeah. And it's actually about heroin, right?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Which is a kind of rent if you are addicted to it.
Those guys knocking again. Oh, shit. I got to pay this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to ask about? We went to Queen and then,
yes.
Oh, we do have this in common. The Joaquin Phoenix Walk the Line, when he sang Johnny Cash, I mean, that was like his own voice. So it was like interpretation.
Right.
And I could listen to that instead almost.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Can you sing?
I don't know. I think I can hold a tune, but I don't think I'm...
What if you do it as another person?
That's easier for me. Like, I've
really?
Done Johnny Cash... Like, hello, this is Johnny Cash. You know, like, I've done a bit of that where it's like karaoke or like Neil Diamond, or I actually do a pretty good David Byrne. I normally do.
Huge talking.
What can you do as David Byrne? Because we are huge talking.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, my go to is Psycho Killer.
Okay.
Okay.
I just love that song so much.
It's amazing. It's the opening to Stop Making Sense.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. And he's doing the,
hey, I have a tape I'd like to play. Do you guys like music? Oh, great. Have a seat or stand, whatever you feel like doing. It's okay because we love you. And it's just like, there's no one like him.
He goes, thank you. After every
song. You.
Yeah.
Like, he's so coked out of his mind.
I know. We have to wrap up. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
but I just want to say, I've already mentioned this before, but in Stop Making Sense, and in every stage show they ever did, in Life During Wartime, there's that big instrumental segment, and he runs around the stage and goes backstage and comes back out, and he does that like lapse
just, like,
thing.
Yeah. Mainlining rails.
He's going.
Cocaine.
He's literally going backstage and doing lines
was
of blow,
really?
And then coming back out. Yeah, yeah. Because you got to do coke every like a lot.
Was this really a thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the concert was so long, it's not his fault.
Oh my god.
It's not his fault.
Damn.
Yeah. And then he'd come back out and be like, thank you.
And to Tina Weymouth, and he's like, hey, thank you for playing that long solo.
We want to be the talking heads for as our family, but it's hard to get your little kids into
it.
Oh,
how old are you?
Because our daughter,
four.
Her hair is
four
perfect.
Four and five. Yeah,
to be Tina.
She could be a really good Tina.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to do it.
I know. I've been wanting to be David Byrne like my whole life, but I've never done it for Halloween.
Yeah.
I would love to do it.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
I'm going to be working.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Aaron.
You're going to be running from zombies.
Yeah, probably going to be working. I mean, might be working on this. I don't know.
Oh,
we'll see.
Right.
Yeah, might be doing something. I'm always working on Halloween, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. One last quick Walking Dead question,
sure,
and then
sure,
we
sure.
really do got to go.
Yeah.
Do you get... are you like craft services and there's just like zombies next to you waiting for food?
Oftentimes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, during the catering, it's so funny because these guys have to, you know, take out their dentures.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest thing to watch them like loosen their jaw and, you know, kind of put it aside.
Yeah.
And some of them have to eat through straws, obviously. But, you know, the initial scare factor of being on that show went away so quickly when you saw all these guys. You're like, oh, this is hilarious. But they they make them look so real.
It's incredible. The makeup is incredible.
That's why I asked, because it's like it's really done. It's not like special effects, so it's like if you're standing with them, they look just as scary as they do when you film them.
It's terrifying.
You come out of like the outhouse and there's just like a zombie waiting to use the urinal.
Yeah. You're like, oh, hey Phil, hey, what's up? brains I gotta have them.
Ross, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
this is so awesome.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah, we could have done another hour. You were really fun.
Let's do it.
I know, and you have like 70 more impressions that you
I know
do.
Yeah. We didn't get them all out.
You can just have me on.
What is your personal favorite to do?
I think it's up there. Well, McConaughey and John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
Because they're
John C. Reilly one's amazing because I literally have never heard anyone else do it.
Well, he just can make anything sound fun, too.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what? We're... Oh. Oh, sorry.
What?
What was that?
I was hitting ignore on a phone call, and then it just started talking to me.
Oh, it just went right through. No.
There we go. Sorry.
Wow. That must be really important.
She's like, answer the fucking phone.
Yeah, but he's a jovial chap.
Yeah,
I would like to meet him someday.
We went roller skating.
Roller skating once.
At Moonlight Rollerway?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's so good.
I go there with some frequency, and I'm always hoping I'll see him there, but I never see him.
He was just like floating.
Yeah.
Like, just
and he dressed so
effortless.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Had his little hat on, and mm-hmm. I don't know. The outfit, the moves. I was super impressed.
I heard that's his meditation. Like, he just goes there to just chill.
I can see that.
I didn't know. He might have been there with somebody, but I also could believe that he was just there.
Yeah, yeah. It looked like he was just there, mm-hmm. like, just vibing, man.
Yeah.
On his own.
I love that so much.
Could not even be bothered by anything that was happening.
It's a perfect
him.
Celebrity hangout because no one can talk to you because you're moving.
Yeah. Like, oh, sorry. I got a kid.
Go.
I gotta do roll around the rink and do a line.
So. All right. Well, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. And
yeah, thank you.
We'll just do it again next week.
I'd like it.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks.
The soft spot. Star Bands Audio, a podcast. A podcast network.